Okay, it's always a schluss to be here. Good vach, everybody. Hopefully everyone had a beautiful Shabbos Kodesh. I want to always thank the Shriers, Aliza and Sarit, for opening up their bias. For Torah, it should be a big schluss for their mishpacha, Bezer Hashem Yisbarach, only for Simcha and Bracha.
Amen.
So I know Purim was already over a week ago, but we're still in Adar. We're still in the month of Adar. And we're all still trying, hopefully, to stay connected to the Heilig Yontif. Mishnichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. When you enter into Adar, you enhance your level of Simcha. Never did I ever find any makar, any source, anywhere where it says that ever stops. You enhance your Simcha, and you got to stay at that enhanced level of Simcha, for sure, for all of Adar. Seemingly into Nisan as well, Mevarchin Chodesh Nisan as well. If you look, the source of that line, Mishnichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha, is not some song. It's actually Gemara in Tainus, and there Rashi explains the enhanced Simcha is Minisim Shel Purim UPesach, from the great miracles of Purim and Pesach, which would tell us then that this enhanced Simcha for sure continues all of Adar and all of Nisan as well, because it's Purim UPesach. Pesach is in Nisan. Pesach is about 3 weeks from now. So hopefully we're still B'Simcha and feeling the Simcha of Purim, and still connected to Purim. I was thinking about the day. It was my daughter's birthday a few days ago. My daughter, Eliora Malka. Her birthday is Chai Adar. Yudches Adar. Just a few days ago. She turned 11. So 11 years ago, she was born at night. And I was in the hospital with my wife till very late at night. Maybe I left, I don't know what time it was. 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, I don't remember exactly. And she was born a Methodist in Brooklyn, in Park Slope, Brooklyn. And the way you drive from here to Methodist, or back from Methodist to here, you pass right by Crown Heights. So I was passing right by Crown Heights, and I didn't have a Meiriv yet. I was at the birth of my child, didn't have a Meiriv yet. So I figure I'll stop in 770 Eastern Parkway. For those of you who don't know, 770 Eastern Parkway is Chabad headquarters. So right, you pass, literally, that's the drive from Methodist to here. You pass right by, it's literally on the way. I figure I'll stop in. They have a minion factory there. You get shachris all morning till late in the afternoon. Not to get into the halachic discussions why that's okay. I'm not really sure, but it goes on. And mincha, mamish, till as late as possible. And ma'ariv, literally, I think all night long, till the morning. So I stop off to go daven ma'ariv. I go into 770. And when I walk in, I get a ma'ariv. But inside the base of medrash, there are maybe 100 people. This is after 1 o'clock in the morning, I don't remember exactly what time, singing and dancing. So of course I go and join. You can't see Yidden singing and dancing, not join in, right? So I join in, and we're singing and dancing, and I ask one of the Hasidim, why are we singing, what are we dancing? He says, what do you mean, Chai Adar? It was the first time I thought about the date of my daughter's birth, Yudches Adar, Yudches Chai. So I figured, Chai Adar, Yidden, we love Adar, we always find this school, this connection to Chai, right? Chai is to live, which is physical life, spiritual life. So I thought there's something special about Chai Adar. They're singing, they're dancing, very beautiful. Okay, so I danced with them a while, and then I left, I went back home. The next night, I'm again with my wife in the hospital, with her and the baby, Baruch Hashem. And I again leave late at night, not as late, maybe it was 12 o'clock at night, I don't remember exactly, and I'm passing by, I have to go Daven Ma'ariv again, so I stop 770, Daven Ma'ariv, I walk in, again, singing and dancing, mamish. So I join in again, and I ask one of the Hasidim, so what are we dancing for tonight? He says, what do you mean? You're Tess Adar. So I realized, by Chabad, every night of Adar, it's Mishnechlas Adar Marbim Simcha, they're singing and dancing. And we should feel the same way. We should feel the same way. It's the last week of Adar, and we have to have this enhanced Simcha of Adar. Purim doesn't end. Purim continues. I was Thursday night. I always stay connected to Purim. Thursday night, I had a beautiful chasana in Chicago, when my Talmidim was married in Chicago. And I met this chasana in Chicago, and I hardly know anybody there. I mean, my Talmud is the chasin, so I felt at home, was fine, you know. And I've met the Kala before. But outside of the chasin, his parents, the Kala, a few random individuals, I really knew almost nobody there. But okay, I was enjoying him. Therefore, Simcha was very beautiful. I don't really know too many people in Chicago. I think I've been a total of 4 days of my life in Chicago for 4 different chasinas. And I see an individual there. He looks so familiar. I see this guy, and he looks so familiar. I'm thinking, where do I know him from? And he walks over to me to say hello, and it hits me. This is past Thursday night. Purim was 1 week before that, right? That this guy was at my house, Purim, for hours, singing and dancing. How he ended up there, that's a good question. I think one of my talmidim brought him, whatever it was. And he was buying me Purim. And there I go to Chicago. I find him in Chicago. Purim's continuing, you know? Purim's continuing. So we always have to be connected to the Simcha of Purim. But the emes is, for many people, Purim is also an awakening. What do I mean by that? When one really connects to Purim, so one really gets down to the depth of who they are. We've spoken about this before, the idea of Purim, seeing that which is hidden, seeing the Ribbono Shel Olam hidden behind everything, seeing ourselves hidden within ourselves, bringing out our neshama, being a little more spiritual, understanding who we are, right? And for some people, although that's something very beautiful and wonderful, sometimes it can be challenging. There are many individuals who Purim, they feel a sense of low in realizing that they could be so much more, realizing that they want to be so much more, realizing that, yeah, this feeling that they're connecting to with this one day, that's not who I am usually. My wife was telling me of one of my Talmidim on Purim that was literally crying and crying to her, saying how he wishes he could be so much more, he wishes he could be so much more of a Talmid Chacham and more of a Tzaddik, and literally crying to her for hours, she said, mamish, like crying. And for some of us, it's not just Purim. Some of us, it's other times during the year or other times in our lives where we get a little bit down spiritually. We realize we want to be so much more. And sometimes those are the best of times that remind us that, right? Sometimes those are the best times because if we're not enlightened, then we're not inspired. So we're just going with the flow. And those moments of inspiration, although so special and important, then it's a wake-up call. And we look into ourselves and realize, I could be so much more. I want to be so much more. I once was so much more. In my Avodas Hashem, in my davening, in my Yiras Shamayim, in my feeling of closeness to Hashem, in my Amunah, in my Betachon. So we have to be mechazik ourselves. We have to be mechazik ourselves specifically in this way, I believe, after a Purim. Because some of us feel it the other way. Even if Purim was this amazing day where we didn't have those feelings like that particular Talmud. And it was just all simcha, which a lot of us it was. But then it ends, and maybe it was a day after, or 2 days after, and we think to ourselves, like, I'm back to normal. And it was like it never even happened. And I didn't change in any way from that day. And I'm the same exact person that I was. And I want to grow, and I want to improve, and I want to work on myself. Okay, so we always learn, we've said it many times at this table and other shirim over the years, that we have to live with the parsha. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, we were talking about Chabad before, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that's how he used to teach, we have to live with the parsha, meaning the parshas that we learn, at any particular week, it's not just it happens to fall out that way. There's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's trying to send us messages and inspiration and ideas that we're supposed to be connecting to at that point in our life for that particular week, based on that parsha. Now this morning we leaned a lot. I don't know how many of you made it to shul or didn't make it to shul, but it was. I don't know if there's a time during the year. I didn't look into it and think exactly, but that we leaned more than we leaned this morning, right? I don't think so. Vayakel Pekude M Parshas Para. It's mamish a lot of leaning. It was a lot. It was a long leaning. So there's a lot to learn. There's a lot of chizik from these parshios. But I want tonight to try to be makasher them all. I want to bring them all together. If we're going to lay in Vayakel, Pekude, and Parah all in one Shabbos, all in one morning, it must be that those three laynings, those three parshios, are deeply interconnected as well. Nothing is by chance. Nothing in the world is by chance, but definitely nothing in Yiddishkeit is by chance. And there's a reason why those three parshios are together. So the Heilige Shlach HaKadosh explains as follows. We're going to go through, and we're going to explain, and we're going to learn tonight. I mean, we always learn together, but really learn tonight. I mean, with Makaris, as you see. The Shlach HaKadosh explains that all three parshios bring tremendous kapara for the Chet HaEgel. Bring tremendous atonement for the Chet HaEgel. Now we have to understand, and we'll see later tonight, the Chet HaEgel, we're mamish still suffering from until today. which mom is still suffering from until today, Chet HaEgel. You know, at our Sinai, we reached the level of Adam HaRishon Koidim L'Chet. Adam HaRishon was mamish in the Olam HaEmes. Adam HaRishon was in Gan Eden. Adam HaRishon was Kulo Ruchni, was one with God. And then we fell by the Chet Eit Hadas. And we fell, and we went through ups and downs throughout history, and we hit Har Sinai, and again, we hit a level of mamish, Adam Rishon, Kodim L'Chet. Like, we had full purity, full connection to Hashem. And then, Chet HaEgel. And Chet HaEgel knocked us back down again, and literally until today, on some level, we're suffering from Chet HaEgel. And we're connected to that chet. And any time, by the way, and we'll see you later inside, any time we feel a little bit of a low, when we do feel that low that I was talking about, when we feel we're not connected enough, when we fall and do something that we shouldn't be doing, it's some level of connection to chet HaEgel. It's mamish some level of connection to chet HaEgel. And if we then could do kapara on chet HaEgel, if we could gain kapara, we could gain atonement and do what we need to do to fix chet HaEgel, mamish, we could wipe away all those lower feelings. We can be so close to Hashem again, which that's all we want. We all want that simcha. We want that kirvus elokim that we know. No matter what's going on, I feel good. And simcha, and have Rabbeinu Shalom by my side, which we always do, but we want to feel it. So let's understand. Where do we see in these three mekaymos, in these three parshas, Vayakel, Pekudei Para, Kapara for Chet HaEgel? So first, if you look, we handed out these source sheets. I had a little more time on my hands, being that I didn't give Thursday night shiur because of this chas, I mean the shiur that I give to men usually on Thursday night. I had a chas in Chicago, Baruch Hashem, for a Talmud, as I explained. So we had a little more time. Hopefully we'll try to do this more often. We've done it before. So if you look at the source sheet, so the first source is a pasuk at the beginning of Vayakel. And the pasuk of Vayakel Moshe is called Adas Bnei Yisrael Vayomer Aleihem Ela Advar Meshativ Hashem Laso Yisrael. Moshe gathered together all Bnei Yisrael, and he said to them, "These are what Hashem has commanded you. Sheishes Yomim Taasem Alachov Yom Hashvii Yelchem Kodesh Shabbos Shabbaton LaHashem. For 6 days you could work, but on the seventh day it's holy. It's a holy Shabbos for Hashem. Ko'osu b'malacha yumas. Anyone who does malacha on Shabbos will die." So the beginning of Parshas Vayakel, and therefore the yisod of Vayakel on some level is Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos Kodesh that we all celebrate today. Shabbos Kodesh, the holiest day of the year. Not of the week, of the year. The only time we lay in seven aliyahs is on Shabbos. During the week, Monday, Thursday, we lay in three aliyahs. On a Chol HaMoed, we lay in seven aliyahs. On Yontav, it's going to come Pesach, five aliyahs. Yom Kippur, six aliyahs. Only on Shabbos Kodesh do we lay in seven aliyahs in Shul. Because these are levels of Kedusha. Shabbos Kodesh is mamish, the holiest of holies. Such a special schus, such a special matana every single week. So Shabbos Kodesh, the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Yud Ches Mevez, which is the second Makor on the sheet, says, Amar Rav Chia Bar Ava, Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Chia Bar Ava says the name of Rav Yochanan, Kol HaMishamer Shabbos Kilchaso. Anyone who keeps Shabbos correctly, Afilo oived avodizara kedar enosh. Even if you serve idols like the generation of Enosh, which was a terrible dar serving avodizara, moichlun loy, that person will be forgiven. That Shabbos Kodesh is tshuva, even from avodizara. What was the Hegel avodizara on some level? Whatever it was, but on some level avodizara. What could bring tshuva from avodizara? Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos happens to be oisios. Shabbos, if you flip it around, is teshev, tshuva, to return. Shabbos is a zman of tshuva. It's a zman of tshuva, even from Avodah Zarah, and therefore is definitely from Chet HaEgel. Why is that? So I want to explain it in two different ways. If you look at the next source, it's the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef in Arachayim, Reish Mem Beis. The Beis Yosef was Rav Yosef Cairo. He's the one who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber. This is his Pirush, the Beis Yosef, is his commentary on the Tur. So he says this, which was really the foundation of the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef. It says, Master Kosov, what it says in this Gemara that we just read, Afilu oived avoides galilim. Avoides galilim is avoides kochavim, and the same as avoides zara. Moichun lo, why are you forgiven? Just keep Shabbos, and suddenly I didn't do normal sets of tshuva. I didn't do my charata, my vidoy, my confession. I just kept Shabbos. Why? Mivnei Shabbos shkula kenagakol mitzvos. Shabbos is equated, is equal to all the mitzvos. Shimoira hashgacha v'chidish ha'olam. It teaches us that Hashem is watching over us, and there's a chidish ha'olam v'torah min hashemayim. It teaches everything is from Hashem, because what is the foundation of Shabbos? Emunah b'Hashem. Shabbos is, I believe, God created the world and rested on the seventh day. Shabbos is our activation of our Emunah. Why would anyone keep Shabbos if they didn't believe in Hashem? And show that we're believing in Hashem, in the Master of the Universe. The Kevan Jew Shomer Shabbos, once you keep Shabbos, Vaday Ha'oved Galilim, any of Avodah Zarah you did, Sha'oved, any nation, Mamim Ba. It can't be that you actually believe in it. So you had some sort of temptation, you had some sort of ruach shtus, some ridiculous mindset for those moments, somebody was trying, some peer pressure, whatever the reason might be. But definitely, if you're keeping Shabbos, you believe in Hashem. If you're keeping Shabbos, I love Hashem. And it's clear that that Avodah Zarah was meaningless to you. That's what the Beis Yosef says. Oh. So every time we keep Shabbos, it's the biggest tshuva. Because it's the biggest... What is tshuva? Teshuv. To return. To return to what? Lo aleinu, God forbid, a person does an Aveira. A person, a chvesta, speaks Lashon Hara. Teshuv, return. So there's two ways to understand. You could mean return to who you were prior. Return to become that person before you brought that pagam upon yourself, that blemish of that avera. But it could also mean tshuva, to return to Hashem, to return to the Rabbona Shalom. And every single Shabbos Kodesh, we're returning to Hashem. Every single Shabbos Kodesh is the biggest impetus of tshuva. And even our Avodah Zarah. So it's kapara for Chet Egel. And that's Parshas Vayakel. It's the beginning of Vayakel. It's kapara for Chet Egel. Shabbos Kodesh. How many Yidden have been inspired to come back as Baal Tshuva because of Shabbos? How many Yidden, because they went to Kaisel on a Friday night and saw a beautiful Kabbalah Shabbos, and then were asked to come and went to Chves Nisht, to Rav Machlis, or to big Yidden that have hundreds of guests every single Shabbos? One Shabbos Friday night, Mamish could change one's life forever. Mamish, there's thousands of Yidden that came back because of Shabbos. So we ourselves, if Yidden who were Friday Yidden who Mamish didn't have any connection to Hashem, Torah, mitzvahs, knew from nothing, but experienced one Shabbos, and it was their springboard to Mamish becoming Baal Tshuva. And we all know stories like this. So we, who believe in Hashem and keep Torah mitzvahs, you don't think Shabbos could bring us to an even higher level? And Shabbos could help us do Tshuva in the areas we need to do? And Shabbos, therefore, is a great kapara for Chet HaEgel. Let's go weiter. I always think about it. I have one of my closest friends. I don't want to give too many details, but a very special friend. He has a brother, an older brother than his. Grew up in a religious home, went to yeshiva, went to Eretz Yisrael, learned in yeshiva. And then unfortunately went off the derech. And he wasn't shomer Torah mitzvos for a long time, for a bunch of years. He was working in one of the biggest financial firms, like mamish crazy, at making ridiculous money, but working crazy, crazy, crazy hours. And for the first time, he decided he has to start keeping Shabbos again. He has to start keeping Shabbos. Because if he didn't keep Shabbos, his mamish's life would be non-stop, 24-7. He was working 15-hour days, whatever. So at least once a week, he could say, I have Shabbos, and I'm not going... And he'd get home, mamish, minutes before Shabbos, and sometimes it'd be weeks. A car was waiting for him, Matzeh Shabbos, literally straight into the office, Matzeh Shabbos. But at least for those 25 hours, Kulo Rabbeinu Shalom, and it was a springboard to Kedusha, Baruch Hashem. Changed his life. Shabbos could change our life. Shabbos Kodesh. Vayavarech Elokim es Yom HaShvi Vayikadish Eso, because Baruch Hu blessed the seventh day and made it holy. It means it's the source, it doesn't, the Mepharshim explains, the source of all Kedusha and Baruch of our lives. The more we work on Shabbos, the more we keep Shabbos. So Shabbos Kapara for Chet HaEgel. That's Shabbos Kodesh. That's Parshas Vayakel. What about Parshas Pekudei? So Parshas Pekudei, Eila, you see it in Source 4, Eila Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan Eidus. Parshas Pekudei starts out talking about the Mishkan. The Mishkan is explicit in the Medrash. Look at Source number 5, bottom of the front of the sheet. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu,
Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Yavo Zahav HaMishkan V'chaper Zahav HaEgel. Bring the gold of the Mishkan and it will give kapara on the gold of the Egel. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael B'shosh HaSizim HaEgel Hichastim HaSi Be'Ela Lohecha. When you brought the Egel, I was angry about that. I was very angry. Achshav HaSizim Mishkan Be'Ela Ani Misratza Lechem. Now that you built the Mishkan, now I want you back. Ela Pekudei HaMishkan. So we see explicit in the Medrash. The Mishkan is kapara for the Egel. How is the Mishkan kapara for the Egel? How was it? So many explain, just to explain this, in the Egel, it wasn't chas v'shalom the way we think. It wasn't that we literally were serving the Egel as a god. Like, we didn't dip that low so quickly to serve the Egel as a god. We didn't dip that low. But what happened? Our whole connection to Hashem throughout all the years in the desert was through Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was our medium, our intermediary between us and the Rabbeinu Shalom. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Shemayim to get the Luchos, and Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't come back down. We Cheshbon, he's supposed to come back down, 40 days are up, he doesn't come back. We thought we lost that intermediary, that medium. And we mamash got scared. How are we going to connect Hashem? So we built the Egel as an intermediary. Why the Egel exactly? That was the god of Mitzrayim. We thought it had some kedusha to it. Whatever it was. It was wrong. But we were going to serve God through that. Now it was without any tzivo Hashem. And it was very wrong. So comes the Mishkan. How's Mishkan kapara? Because the Mishkan is also in some level an intermediary. It's saying, here, you want an intermediary? Here's a proper intermediary. The intermediary that I'm commanding you to build. The intermediary that I want you to build. The intermediary that comes from me. And that's why there's such an emphasis, if you read through the Pesukim, Kasher Tzivo Yisrael Hashem, Kasher Tzivo Yisrael Hashem, time and time again, it's like constantly saying it, like Hashem commanded you. Because our avodah is not to serve Hashem the way we want, but to serve Hashem the way He wants. And that was the kapara, that we're doing it every detail, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And therefore the Mishkan is kapara for the Egel. What about Parah Aduma? What about Parah Aduma? So Parah Aduma is an explicit Rashi in Parshas Kisisa. How does Parah Aduma connect us to Chet Egel? Now Parah Aduma that we read this morning, Parshas Parah, is a chok, right? It's the quintessential chok, a mitzvah b'li tam, without any reason or understanding. We'll get back to that in a moment. So how could that be kapara? How could it be an atonement for Chet HaEgel? So if you look, if you flip to the back of the source sheet, the top source is a Rashi in Parshas Kisisa, talking about Parah Aduma. Mashal, it's a parable, Leben Shifcha, the son of a maid, Shetinaf Paltin Shomalch, that dirtied up, made a mess in the palace of the king. The maid is in the palace, and its child made this big mess in the palace. Amru, so they say, Tavo Imo, go get your mother, V'tikane chatzoa, and clean all the dirt, clean all that you messed up. Meaning, who cleans up after a child? The mama, the mother, cleans up after a child. Kach Tavo Para, so to bring a para, bring this cow, Uzchaper ala Egel, and should bring atonement on the Egel, which is the calf. So the Egel, the child messed up, comes the para, and that's the kapara. So we see Beferish and Rashi, which is a Medrash Tanchuma, that the Parah Aduma is kapara for the Egel, but we have to understand what that means. It's very cute. It's a cute mashal, right? In the sense of, okay, Shkoyach, a mother cleans up after a child, so the Parah Aduma is cleaning up after Egel. What does that mean, like, for real? So I always thought as follows. Obviously, Egel Hazav, whether it's how we explained a few minutes ago or whatever level was some level of Avodah Zarah, which is some level of a lacking of Amunah in our relationship with Hashem. Lacking our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Melech Malchei Melachim in a very real way. When we keep Parah Aduma, which we said is the quintessential chok, what's a chok? It's a mitzvah b'li tam without any reason that we don't understand at all. Ultimately, that's the highest level of faith in Hashem. The highest level of Amunah b'Hashem. Why? If I'm doing a mitzvah that I understand, and I know why I'm doing it, it's obviously much easier to do. I might be doing it even if I'm not told to do it. Many of us, hopefully, in this room, are wonderful, good people, and would dress in a tzniyas fashion, whether it was a mitzvah or whether it wasn't a mitzvah. Because I'm a modest, good person, and I'm looking to show off myself to others. I want to... So it could be that a lot of people in this room, even if there was no mitzvah, would dress tzniyas. When it comes to ben adam l'chaver or vada, right? When it comes to interpersonal relationships. If there was no mitzvah biker cholim and somebody was sick, we wouldn't go visit them. We'd probably go visit them. We're nice, good people. Lashon Hara, okay, we all struggle with it sometimes. But we all understand, and even if there was no mitzvah Lashon Hara, we hopefully would try our best not to speak Lashon Hara, right? So a lot of the mitzvahs that are mishpatim, that make sense, tefillah, again, assuming we believe in Hashem already, but there was no mitzvah of tefillah, naturally we might already call out to Hashem and talk to Hashem and daven to Hashem to thank Him for all that we have, to ask Him for what we need. When it comes to a chayk, I would never do a chayk. Shatnez, right? Shatnez, that I go to the store, I have to look on the label and see if it's wool and linen. And then even certain items that you have to know to bring in to have checked because there might be minute amounts of linen. Yeah, this suit I'm wearing right now, Emes. This suit I'm wearing right now. So this suit, if you look at the label, where's the label? I don't know where the label is. Here we go. This suit, I'm serious. Is it over here? Let's see. Bistama, it's 100% some type of wool, it says on the label, right? Where is it? This is in a lot of different languages over here. Oh, here it is. 100% virgin wool. 100% virgin wool. What does that mean, 100? What's virgin wool? It's the first snips they take off. I don't know. Whatever it is, I don't know. So 100% virgin wool. So you think you could just look at the label, right? I'll look at the label. Oh, I'm good to go. I could buy this suit. I could wear this suit. No problem, right? It's not. You should know. I don't know how many of you know this. You're women, yeah. But you're going to know this one day for your husband, for your children. When you buy a suit, you can't just look at the label. Well, first thing you do, you look at the label. Because if the label does say, well, then forget about it. Because it could be mamish intertwined. But in suits, I'll show you. We'll do a little... A little show and tell, right? No, Emes. If you look, over here is the collar. So in the collar, you see this flap? Behind this, there's wool over here. Behind this is what's called a collar stay. There's some piece of material that keeps the collar, like, keep it to stay, right? Collar stay. Keep it firm, right? You know? So in a lot of the better suits, The collar stay is a flap of linen. But it's so little and so minute, and it's behind, it's inside the lining, they don't have to put it on the label. That legally, if there's a certain, I don't know exactly, but the percentages and where it is, they don't have to put it on the label. So in the label, it doesn't tell you there's any linen. But it's Asur D'Oraisa. It's Asur D'Oraisa to wear this suit. Now you're asking how am I wearing this suit, right? This suit says 100% wool, but there was linen in the collar. But all you have to do, you take it to a tailor, and the tailor you could fix shot is if it's that way, they open up they opened this up, they took out the whole linen strap, they put in a wool one or a cotton one, I don't know, some sort of other stay, and they sewed it back, and now it's fine. It costs you a few extra dollars, but you can make a suit. Good, but you have to go and check it for shatnez. That's what it means when you go to check for shatnez. Even though, what do you mean check for shatnez? You have a label. No, but I don't know women's clothing, if there's certain things like this. But there must be in coats, bestama, if you get like a wool coat. If it's usually the higher end, European brands, whatever it might be, you have to get it checked for shatnez. You have to get it checked. Now, Lemaisa, does anyone in this room have any clue why HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares if I wear wool and linen together? I have no idea. I have no idea. But I do. You know why I do it? You know why I went and took this to a tailor and had it checked and had to pay an extra $50 to check, to take out and put in a new... You know why? Because I love Hashem and Hashem says it's important to me. Because I believe in Hashem. And I believe that Hashem knows better than me what's best for me. I know what's best for me. I think I know what's best for me. Who am I? I'm nothing. Maria Cohen, I'm on this world 38 years. I'm trying to learn a little bit about myself and about the world. I know very little in the world. The Rebbeinu Shem knows a lot better than me. He's been around forever. He created the world. He created me. He knows a lot better than me. So he knows, for me, it's emes, it's best for me to not wear shatnez. So I'm going to trust in him. And I'm going to know he knows better than me. And that's true amuna. To say, I don't know. I know that Hashem knows better than I know. What better kapara for Chet Egel? Chet Egel, on some level, is a lacking of amuna. Is a lacking of faith. I'm going to show ultimate faith. Parah Aduma, which is a quintessential chok. I'm going to do mitzvahs that I don't even understand. Zois Chukas HaTorah, the Arachayim HaKadosh. Very famous Arachayim. It says, we read it this morning, if you paid attention in Parah, I don't know how many of you were there. Could be it was a mitzvah d'oraisa, many hold even for Parah, just like Zachar. Okay, if you missed, don't worry. First of all, you can make it up, Parshas Chukas, when we get there. Go to Shul. And if not, many hold it's not. But anyways, L'maisa, we said, Zos Chukas HaTorah. This is the law of the Torah. Or Achayim HaKadosh, this is the law of the Torah. Should say, Zos Chukas Tuma V'tara. This is the law of Tuma V'tara. Zos Chukas Paraduma. This is the law of the Paraduma. What do you mean? Zos Chukas HaTorah. This is the greatest law in the Torah. And you know what the Achayim HaKadosh says? It is. You know why? Because as we said before, this is the primary example of a chok. And what more special mitzvah than a chok to show this is what our Avodah Hashem should be. Not just when we understand, not just when it's meaningful and purposeful and we understand what we're doing. No matter what, I have faith in Hashem, I keep every single commandment. So now we see, as we went through, Shabbos, Kodesh, Mishkan, Para, all three lanings of this morning, all kapara for Chet Egel. We're just getting started. You ready? So what are we going to do with this? What does that mean to us? What's the chizik teaching every one of us? Why are we so concerned with Chet Egel? So we mentioned before already. We're so concerned with Chet Egel because we're still suffering from Chet Egel. Look at the source number 8 over here. It's a Rashi. And Rashi explains, this is right after Chet Egel, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to mamish, wipe us out. He wanted to wipe us out. And Moshe Rabbeinu davens, we all know not to wipe us out, right? Oh. So listen to what the Rashi explains. Ata shamati elecha melechlosam yachad. Hashem says to Moshe, I'm going to listen to you and not wipe us all out at one time. However, v'tamid tamid kishi efgod aleyam avonoseyam. Every single time when I count and I think about your averos, your sins, I'm going to bring up and I'm going to think about this chet, chet egel. Whenever you sin, I'm going to also think about this sin. Listen to this. The Gemara in Sanhedrin. The ain pranios ba'al Yisrael. A punishment doesn't happen to Bnei Yisrael. She'ein b'ksas mipiron avon egel. That there isn't a little bit of that punishment that's connected to Chet Egel. Meaning anytime we're punished, and anytime we sin, that Hashem thinks about it, and He also remembers Chet Egel. Meaning, as I explained before, we're still suffering from Chet Egel. We're still connected to Chet Egel. Because Chet Egel is that lacking of connection to Hashem on some level. That lacking of amuna, that lacking of ultimate faith and connection. So we want to reconnect. We want to reconnect, and we want to do tshuva and have kapara for Chet Egel, because we're still suffering from it until today. But I'll tell you more than that. That's what we need to lift ourselves up of those lows that we were speaking about at the beginning of this year. The times when we feel low. Whether we feel low because I want to be so much more, whether we feel low because I know I'm not so much more. In our ruchnius, in our lives. So we need to do kapara for Chet Egel. And in all three of these ways, Shabbos, Kodesh, Mishkan, and Paraduma. You're thinking, what do you mean, Rabbi? Paraduma we ain't doing, right? Paraduma, there's no Paraduma. You know, once in a while, you see on Yeshiva World, they found the red cow, and they're all excited. Okay, it's very cute, very nice. But we're not doing Paraduma. Mishkan, we're yearning for Beis HaMikdash, but we ain't doing Mishkan either. Because Shabbos I could do. Shabbos is a good one, right? We all love Shabbos anyways. So we could enhance our Shabbos, that's good. First of all, why these three? Sefer Arei Nachal says, expounds, Al Pi Kabbalah, and the Rizal speaks about this length. There are three entities in this universe. what are called Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. You've ever heard of that before, Chavra? You've heard that a little? If you learn Sifri Chassidus, it talks about this a lot. Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. And what that means, I'll explain it. Olam is the world, is basically the physical place. Olam is the place. Shana means year. Shana is the time. And Nefesh is the soul, is the person. So there are three makeups of the world. There's time, place, and us, ourselves. So Shabbos is kapara for time. Anytime one does an avera lo aleinu, they're doing it in a particular time, they're doing it in a particular place, and they themselves are doing it. So you need kapara on those three levels. So Shabbos of Vayakel is kapara of time. That's Kedushas HaZman. Mishkan is Kedushas HaMakom. Nefesh is the person themselves. Paraduma is Mitahar. It purifies the person. So you see, the reason we have three kaparas is because we're doing tshuva and gaining atonement on all three levels. But what that tells us is we need kapara, time, place, and us as individuals. But what gives us this ability? What gives us the ability? Naturally, if we mess up and if we're low, we should be staying down. Naturally, if we do something wrong, what I mean, not that we should want to, but if we do something wrong to Hashem, I should have to pay the price. Din, judgment. Lo aleinu, God forbid, a person does a terrible sin in American law, goes and cheats the government and steals, or lo aleinu, a person murders someone. You go to court and you cry and you say, I regret what I did, and I confess that I did it wrong, and I go all the steps of tshuva. You know what happens? Okay, they throw you in jail for life. Shkoyach, yeah, it's nice, you're very remorseful now. Too late. There's judgment in the world. You messed up. So when it comes to Avodas Hashem, it should be the same. In the Medrash, Tanchum I have over here, we're not going to read through it right now, just for the sake of time, I want to discuss this. And says that's the difference between Yidden and the Umas Ha'olam and the other nations. The other nations are judged by Hashem, din, judgment. Whatever they do, they're judged for it. They don't have tshuva. Tshuva is a chiddush. Tshuva is a chiddush. Only we have tshuva. Tshuva, by the way, Chazal teaches, was created before the world. Because it doesn't work like the normal progression of the world. It's above nature. It's supernatural. But it's awesome. It gives us hope when we're lower. It gives us the ability to always be mechazik ourselves and to know that Hashem's waiting for us to return, and we always can return. Even Chet Egel, even the lowest of low. It's awesome. That's amazing. Where does it come from? So listen to this B'nai Yisachar. The B'nai Yisachar explains it in the following way. B'nai Yisachar says, "The banim atam l'Hashem elokeichem." That each and every one of us are children to Hashem. The pasuk says, "Banim atam l'Hashem elokeichem." We're all b'nei Yisrael. He's avinu shebashamayim. We're all his children. But the goyim, the relationship between Hashem and the umas ha'olam is not one of children, but one of avadim. He's their melech. He's their king. The pasuk in Dilma says, "Melech Elokim al Agoyim." So when it comes to a father, the halacha is in Gemara and Kedusha, "Av Shemachal Kvodo, Kvodo Machal." When a father wants to be Meichel, forgive and forget on their kavod, they're allowed. A father's allowed to not demand respect of a child. "Av Shemachal Kvodo, Kvodo Machal." Could forgive and forget on kavod. However, when it comes to a melech, a king, the halach is that melech shemachal kvodo, if a melech forgives his kavod, ein kvodo moichel. It's not forgiven. He can't forgive and forget on his kavod. So when it comes to the umas ha'olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is their melech, and they do something wrong to him, there's judgment. He can't just accept tshuva, because ha melech shemachal kvodo, ein kvodo moichel. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is avinu b'shamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our tata in hemel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our father and loves us. And a father always can be meichel and kavod, the Gemara says. But more than that, a father loves the children so much. The father always wants the child to come back. The father's always waiting for us to come back. You know how much our parents love us. You know how much the Rabbi Nishon loves us. If we only knew how much the Rabbi Nishon loved us. So it doesn't matter where we fall, we always could come back. We always could get back up. And we have to believe in that, and we have to lift ourselves back up. And that's, by the way, all three of these tshuvas. We see this relationship as well. Shabbos Kodesh is a relationship of a father to a son. How do I see that? An hour specific. So B'nai Yisachar explains that the halacha is a ben noyach. A guy is not allowed to keep Shabbos. A guy is not allowed to keep Shabbos. Ben noyach sheshabbos chayev misa. A guy is not allowed to keep Shabbos. And you know why? Listen to how B'nai Yisachar explains. He says Shabbos is the day of Hashem. Shabbos is his resting day. Shabbos is his holy day. And it's Ki'ilu represents the Sharbit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the scepter of God. The scepter represents the king. It's his Sharbit. Just talk about Sharbit from Purim, right? We're still in Purim, we said before. So the scepter, not Sharbat, Sharbit. It's also good. Same shoresh, is that where it comes from? Where's the name Sharbat? What does Sharbat mean? You don't know? It's got it's some... Yeah. Some Afghanistani word, I don't know, Chvestish, right? Yeah, you wouldn't know. Maybe Chacham Yosef knows, I don't know. Okay. Lamaisa, it's the Sharbit of the Rabbi Hashem. So comes the king's scepter. He says as follows: if a commoner comes and starts playing with the king's scepter, Mamish, kill him, send him to the stakes, right? Kill him on the spot. What type of disgrace is that? You can play with the king's scepter. So Goy that keeps Shabbos deserves to be killed. You don't have the right to play with the scepter of the king. Aber what? The king is sitting on his throne and holding his scepter, and his own little child, his 8-year-old, 6-year-old kid, comes and takes the scepter and starts playing with it. The king starts laughing. It's besimcha, right? It's my child. My child can play with my scepter. It's all yours. I love you. You're going to be the king one day. You're a ben melech. So a yid keeps Shabbos kodesh. A yid keeps Shabbos. A yid loves Shabbos. So the whole connection to Shabbos, to a yid and not to a goy, is a representation of that relationship of a father to a son, which is that ability for us to always come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mishkan as well. If you look, I'm going to put it here. Oh, in Shmos Rabbah Lamed Dal Gimel, it's the 10th source. Banim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. Banim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. You are children to Hashem. V'ani Avichem, I'm your father. Shenemar ki yisi l'sral av. Kavod l'banim, it's an honor to children k'shein eitz avim, when they're near their father. V'kavod l'av k'shu eitz abanav. And it's a kavod to parents when they're by their children. So you look at the last line. Asu bayis l'av. Hashem says, make a house for the father, sh'yav av yishra eitz abanav. So the father could come and reside near the children. So the whole building of Mishkan was a relationship of a father to a son. Which is what? The foundation of the ability to do tshuva. Which is kapar v'chei de'egel, but the kapar of our lives. And so too by Paraduma. The Zohar says the Paraduma is a remez to the Shekhinah, to the Rabbanu Shalom himself. And that Paraduma is cleaning up after the child. That's the parent cleaning up after a child. So Paraduma, again, is the parent, the relationship between a parent and a child. But also, I'll tell you as well, who are the ones that are willing to do a chok, as we said, a law without meaning and understanding? Children. Children will listen to parents even if they don't understand. They should be listening to parents even if they don't understand. And that's a patek in Tehillim, if you look at the last source of air. Asapra el chok Hashem, amar elai b'niyata. I tell you that this is a chok of Hashem. So say to me, you're my son. Meaning because only a son, only a child will keep a chok. Because a child understands that my parents knows what's best for me, wants what's best for me, is willing to do even if they don't understand. And we have to do that with the Rabbeinu Shalom. So we see all three of these Shabbos, Mishkan, and Para are all kaparas for Chet Egel, but all because they represent on some level a relationship between a father and a son. And each and every one of us has to know that that's the relationship we have with the Eibishter. We started off by saying there are times in our life, whether it was Purim, whether other times, when we feel a little low. We don't feel... So we have to... The chizik immediately we have to give ourselves always is that we have the ability to do tshuva. We have the ability to do tshuva for chet egel that we're still suffering from till today, whether it's through Shabbos, whether it's through paraduma, which that even though we don't have paraduma, but that essence of a choik, of giving ourselves over to Hashem, because we know He knows best. The Mishkan is even though we don't have Mishkan, we have our Mishkan Ma'at, we can make our Makom where we live, where we are holy, where we live special. Us the Lemigdash Shechanti B'Sochem, ourselves we can make holy. The more the chizik of understanding that Hashem is our Father in heaven, and He's always waiting to take us back. There's that deep relationship always between a father and a son that's always there, that's always strong, that always could bring us back, and we have to have that chizik within ourselves, that we're never lost. We're always with our Tat and Hamel. I just read recently a story. I meant to bring it to read. I forgot, you know, after Shabbos Kodesh. It's one of the Maggid Speaks books. Yeah, the Maggid Speaks. You wouldn't know where it is. I don't even know which one it was. And so it's not shaykh right now. But I'll tell you from memory. There was a yid. He was a rabbi in like a rehab center in a nursing home. And he was in charge of trying to be mechazik and trying to bring some ruchnius to the elders in this home. And he used to bring them down and have a minyan. And bring them to Sheikh Lulav and Esrog and make Yamim Tovim. And there was one yid that would never go to Minyan, would never want to go to Davin, would never want. And one day he was in his room, still trying to make a relationship with him. And he asked him to go down again. He used to always just ask him one time, at least, would you want to come to Minyan today? One day, the guy opened up to him and said, I want to tell you my story. I want to tell you why I never joined the Minyan. And he talks about it. He lost his entire family in the Holocaust. His entire family. And it was left, and he was in one of those concentration camps. It was just him and his father. And it was his bar mitzvah. His boy, his bar mitzvah. And his father knew of one person in this concentration camp that had a pair of tefillin. And he was going to go, and it was very dangerous, obviously, but he was going to go find this pair of tefillin and get them because he wanted so badly that his son, this man, for at least his bar mitzvah day, should put on tefillin. And the father went, and somehow, the whole story, I don't remember exactly all the details, but he went and he snuck and he was able to get this tefillin. And as he's bringing the tefillin to the barracks and he's right outside, a Nazi stops him and searches him and finds the tefillin and kills him on the spot. In this concentration camp. And the son sees this all. And the Nazi shot him and left him on the floor. And the tefillin fell to the ground. And this boy, bar mitzvah boy, you can imagine, sees this in front of his eyes. His whole family's already murdered. Now his father's murdered. And he goes, he takes the tefillin. He gives his father a kiss. He doesn't know what to do. He goes back to the barrack, a little boy. And he ends up living. He ends up surviving, but with nothing. But he kept those tefillin. But he never put them on. Because he was so angry and so upset. Because in his mind, those tefillin brought the death to his father. And he couldn't bring himself ever to daven. He couldn't bring himself ever to put on tefillin. And we can't blame him. None of us could blame him. None of us could judge. None of us could understand. Shem Yirachim, right? And the man said, so he's telling over the story to this rabbi, and he says, open up that drawer. And he opens up the drawer, and there they were. He had the tefillin still. You see, because those tefillin, as much as he wouldn't put them on, because he was angry at the Rebbe Nishlam for what happened, they still were the connection to his father. They were the last connection to his father. And he kept them with him always, but he never put them on. One day, there was a man downstairs who had to say Kaddish at Yahrzeit. And they got together, and they only had 9 men. And he couldn't find anyone to join the minyan. So this rabbi thought, okay, you know what, that man that always doesn't know, maybe today I'll ask him to come special for this, just today. He knows what a yahrzeit is for the Kaddish. He goes up to the room and he tells him, the whole situation, and he says, you know what, I'll come. But only if you never ask me again to come. I'll do it for this man, but only if you never, he says, okay, I'll never ask you again. You know what? Thank you so much, just to make the minyan. And then this rabbi, he just thought to himself, he says, maybe you'll bring your tefillin with you. Once you're coming, maybe bring your tefillin, put them on. And the man says, okay, if you promise me you're never going to ask me to put on my tefillin again, I'll bring them also. And he goes down, and he's part of this minyan. and he puts on tefillin for the first time, those tefillin, and he davens, and the rabbi is going around leading the service. At the end, everyone leaves, and this man's still sitting there in his tefillin. He goes over to him, he sees tears streaming down his cheeks. And he didn't want to take off the tefillin. And he couldn't stop crying. Being reconnected to his father, and being reconnected to his tat in Himmel. And from that day on, every day, he asked this rabbi at the end, he said, can you come back and bring me down to daven with my tefillin? I want to put them on. And he started putting them on every single day. And one day he went up to the room, and the room was all cleaned out, and the man wasn't there. And he found out that the man passed away, was Nifter. And he saw him, it was a daughter or a son, I don't remember exactly. And the daughter came over to him and says, I want you to know that we owe everything to you. Because you reconnected my father to Hashem and to his father. And I want you to know when he passed away yesterday, he passed away wearing those tefillin. He was wearing his tefillin when he passed away. You see, every year, as far as you could fall and as low as you could be, whether you could not judge, it's not always about. We're always connected to our father. You see, so this year was always connected to his father. And even though he was so angry for so many years, at the end he was reconnected. And through that reconnected to his father in Shemayim. And undoubtedly he went straight up to the Olam Emes, to his Tata in Himmel. But each and every one of us has to know. Each and every one of us has to know we're all just as connected to our Tata in Himmel. We're all connected to our Father. And whether we stray or not, and whether we feel low or not, He's waiting for us to come back. He's waiting for us to do tshuva. That's the source of the ability to do tshuva, because He's our Father. We have to believe that. And we have to be inspired by that. And we are never too far. And we're never too low. Because He's our Father, who's always willing to take us back, always waiting with open arms. So, Emirat Hashem, we should all be mechazik ourselves. As we read these parashas this morning, they were there to give us this chizik, to reconnect ourselves with the Rabbi Nisham. Emirat Hashem is baruch, we should be zoicha, to always feel that relationship, to always reconnect Hashem, to do the kapara that we need for Chet Egel, so then we're zoicha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we did all the tikkun we need, we're ready again, not just for Mishkan, for Beis HaMikdash, but the B'yas Mashiach, b'mheir v'yameinu. Amen.